Welcome to the Intersection Podcast, brought to you by Impact 360 Institute. Impact 360 Institute is passionate about equipping a new generation of Christ-centered influencers to understand, defend, and live out their faith in the marketplace. Here's your host, Jonathan Morrow.
How can you leverage your creativity for influence? And what does it look like to lead in such a way that encourages the creativity of those around you? Those are the important questions we're going to be talking about today in this podcast. But before we get to those questions, I wanted to share this brand new resource with you that we've created called Explore the Resurrection. How do we really know that Jesus rose from the dead? After carefully walking through the material in this digital video course designed for people on the go, you'll be equipped to confidently settle this matter in your own mind. You'll not only learn why the resurrection of Jesus is the best explanation of the historical facts, but you'll also understand how it affects you personally, and then be ready to confidently and clearly share this evidence with others. Learn more at exploretheresurrection.tv. Well, here's a little bit about today's guest. Scott McDaniel heads the Sony Music Nashville creative team, overseeing artist imaging, album packaging, photography, design, and video production for the label group's recording imprints, Arista, Columbia, and RCA Records, working with artists such as Kenny Chesney, Miranda Lambert, Brad Paisley, and Carrie Underwood. McDaniel joined Sony in 2008 with over 15 years' experience in creating visual art within the music industry. His experience includes art director and producer credits for live concert performances, music films, feature-length film and music videos. Additionally, he has commissioned over 400 music videos to directors between country, rock, gospel, and Christian formats. McDaniel previously served in artist development with EMI Christian Music Label and oversaw the creative services department at Forefront Records, working with artists such as Toby Mac, Stacy Arrico, and DC Talk. Recently, our executive director here at Impact 360 Institute, Phil Alsop, had the opportunity to interview Scott about creativity and leadership.
Leadership is often about vision and how a leader can communicate that. One of the central parts, ultimately, in vision is creativity and innovation. But a lot of leaders wonder at the end of the day, how do I do that? How do I know that I'm providing that for people? Many people think, hey, I'm not creative. I don't know how to even begin to engage in any type of vision that involves that. Well, today we do want to talk about how leaders can create, foster, and cultivate a culture of creativity and innovation for their team, for their workplace, just in the environment that they're in. And I'm really thrilled to have with us here today my friend Scott McDaniel. And I'm excited to have him talking on these subjects and helping us grow in our understanding of it. I've had the privilege of knowing Scott for a lot of years now and got to spend a season working alongside of him as well. And I've always admired Scott's creativity and his ability just to think big and just think about things in a different way than a lot of people tend to think. And just even on top of that, man, he's an all-around great guy. So I'm thrilled to have some time with him here today and thrilled to get to share some of that with you here today. So, Scott, welcome to our podcast here at Impact.
Man, that's quite the raucous introduction there, man. I hope I can live up to the bill with the opening act you gave.
Hey, I've got no doubts at all. I've got no doubts you can deliver.
Cool.
Well, Scott, share with us a little bit about your roles and responsibilities there at Sony.
Sure. I have the, privilege to serve as the Vice President of Creative Services for Sony Music Nashville, and we facilitate what I jokingly call visual A&R. If you're familiar with the music industry, the A&R team, they deal with the artists and repertoire of creating the music and working on the songs and the albums, and then we get to put the visual to it. So everything that our artist roster creates, we put the visuals to. So everything from album packaging to artist logos, music videos, imaging, any sort of, you know, visuals that match what an artist is creating sonically. The team I get a chance to serve with, we create and do all that for three different labels, you know, give or take 8 to 10 artists per label. So total of, you know, 30 or so artists that are all focused in the country music genre format.
Man, that's exciting stuff. I can imagine a lot of days, other than budgets, just limited by one's imagination as to what you guys can apply when you're thinking of those big concepts.
Yeah, well, it's always the trick to try and see what an artist sees in their mind's eye as they create the audio and the sounds and the feelings that we all connect and associate with music. I mean, music is an emotion, and there's, you know, without a doubt, a song that, you know, you'll hear and it takes you back to that emotional spot, either when you first heard that song or something that was going on in your life. And so then as the artists create those visuals, we're working hard. I mean, create those, create the audio for that. We're working hard to create the visuals to match that so that when a consumer or listener or fan hears it, they can immediately connect with that respective artist.
Mm. Well, Scott, everybody's leadership journey starts somewhere. Tell us about your big first leadership responsibility.
Well, I'd probably have to go back to one of the first jobs I had, which was running the sports cards and comic section for a comic book store. Uh-huh. And I had the opportunity to basically buy and sell baseball, football cards, comics from collectors and sort of run that area of this bookstore. And yeah, it was great, you know, being a creative, being an artist and, you know, a huge, huge fan of comics, and sports as well. It was a great opportunity, and to be entrusted with kind of overseeing that was daunting. At the same time, it was just such a great fit that it was, you know, probably the first leadership responsibility opportunity that I had that I can immediately recall and think back to.
Well, as you reflect back on those days, Scott, what went right about that leadership responsibility, and what did you learn from it that to this day, you know, never do that again?
Yeah. Well, when there's passion and an instant connect there, I guess the biggest win that I can think back on is that, you know, the chance to make an immediate impact. I mean, within the first 3 months, I had tripled the revenue sales for the area and kind of caught everybody's attention because, you know, it was just an area that just nobody had really paid attention to. And yet there was a lot of great opportunity there. The challenge that came with that was inadvertently stepping on some of, you know, your teammates' toes as you're trying to make a name and win for yourself and, you know, in the company and kind of, you know, demonstrate and prove your value and your worth and kind of go, hey, look at what I've been able to bring in to the business, and then inadvertently kind of not be maybe the best teammate that I could have been starting out at the very beginning.
Scott, tell us a little bit about what you think a creative and innovative workplace would look like.
Controlled chaos.
Now you're making people nervous.
Yeah, no. No, it's, I guess, an innovative workplace has got to be an environment where there is the complete, you know, and utter freedom to fail and try and experiment and in some ways sort of be like a mad scientist laboratory. And at the same time, you're ultimately working to solve, you know, an issue or a challenge creatively, or you're trying to develop or create, you know, the right video or the right image that connects with the tone of what you're trying to communicate. And so there are sort of control stops and control mechanisms of things that you can and can't do. One of the great things about country music is that, you know, it's a very honest, authentic format. And so, you know, a lot of times where we want to, you know, sort of push the envelope and lick it shut and do something that someone's never seen before, you know, we also don't want to betray the format by doing something that's so innovative that it takes away from the authenticity of the music. There's other musical formats where you can, you know, sky's the limit and you can kind of create whatever visual you want to create, and that's lauded and applauded and cheered. And in our format, it's more about connecting the dots of what's real and authentic so that, you know, we don't betray the great history and heritage that, you know, country music has. So as it relates to what that workplace looks like, it's got a lot of discipline. There's a lot of dialogue and a lot of what I'd call just do it again, where we really work hard to dial in the details of what we're trying to get so that when we present and create something, we've sort of exhausted every possibility. And at the same time, we're delivering something that's going to try to answer as many questions as possible.
Scott, have you come across some ways there in the workplace to help people feel like it's a place where they can share their ideas, you know, how those ideas can be cultivated, how they can be shared? How do you encourage people, especially the Shire people who may not think they're creative? How do you get them to join in the game there?
Well, I believe everyone is creative, and every idea, you know, should be weighed and vetted. I know a lot of creatives tend to kind of go it alone sometimes. And if, you know, that's the way they create their art, then, you know, that's great. And then I've always operated from a mindset and standpoint of trying to leverage the collective idea of everyone, because more people speaking into one thing, you're usually going to end up with a better end result. But it does take a lot of conversation and dialogue. And that's really the first places that I would start, and started here, which is really working to foster an environment for dialogue. There has to be the opportunity for people to speak, share their ideas, you know, sort of have a autopsy without blame of talking through, you know, sort of everyone's different point of view to get through it. And once you lay that foundation, then it allows that sort of, you know, you almost don't even have to cultivate it any further, because it's once you've laid that groundwork, it just kind of takes off from there. I mean, it's always a constant work to foster the dialogue, and to, you know, when you talk about shy, you know, people that may be shy and not want to share, it's like stepping back and intentionally saying, okay, well, what do you think about this? Or, hey, I've not heard from you. Or can you share what you're thinking right now, or what you're processing? And a lot of times people are quiet because they're just processing, you know, especially for creators, you know, we're always, you know, got our little render bar, you know, spinning, you know, on our computer, in our mind, processing all this information. And sometimes that's just the case. And so a lot of times in the course of the dialogue, when, you know, I've asked questions of even just some of my team, you know, they've gotten to the point now where they'll just say, hey, I'm processing and thinking through that, but let me come back and talk about it. And they do, and we do, and we keep hammering it out until it's just the way we want it or intend it to be.
Well, Scott, as we think about somebody's leadership journey in a company or a business, it may be that they've been in an area that was a little more focused on, you know, just kind of day-to-day results and day-to-day practices and things like that. And then they may find themselves with a broader leadership responsibility that incorporates a group of people who are very creative. That's their job, to bring ideas and think about innovation. For somebody that may have just stepped into a leadership role and finding themselves leading a group of people who are very creative in their nature, what kind of advice would you give this person for really engaging them and learning how to bring out their best?
Well, working and managing with creatives, I think if you're thrust into a leadership role or position with creatives, I would say the first and foremost lesson to learn is just the power of thank you, specifically a verbal thank you. So often creatives are, you know, behind the scenes building, crunching, creating. No one kind of sees the ideation that takes place. And very rarely is there just a good, you know, thank you for your work, thank you for your effort. And that goes a long way and speaks huge volumes for creatives to really hear that verbally. You know, other things just in general, you know, creatives can't necessarily be managed by a spreadsheet. You know, so they definitely live outside the Excel grid lines, and they tend to need more things like flexibility and give and sort of room and space so that they can create and be who they need to be to fulfill their responsibilities within their role. And then I guess always a good dose of patience is always great. Sometimes, you know, ideas take a minute to happen. They don't just, you know, flip on like a switch, you know, to turn on the light. Sometimes they do. I've worked and seen some creatives that even just, you know, songwriters, you know, there's songwriters that have said, you know, man, this song took 10 years of my life to write. And then I've had other songwriters, you know, you hear them say, well, that happened in like 4 minutes. Like it literally just came to me and I wrote it down. And so I think that, you know, the flexibility there and patience there as well with your team to know that sometimes when you have to give a directive or you give an order for, you know, some idea or something to be created, you also have to be patient and allow that processing and sort of formulation to happen, because creatives are always trying to work out all the problems. You know, we're like engineers, you know, and so it's like we're trying to figure out what can we deliver that sort of kind of as I like to say a lot, answer all the questions. And so I think a leader giving flexibility and patience as it relates to those sorts of processes is a good thing to do. And I think finally, just I would make sure to allow for time for, you know, recharge, creatives and all of us. I mean, we all need to recharge and take a break. But for creatives especially who are generating and cranking out ideas and original thoughts, they really need to be told to, you know, pause and recharge, you know, otherwise they just kind of keep going and going. And eventually then the ideas can sometimes get stale versus something that is the same thing over and over again. You know, then you're fighting another whole set of challenges. But with creatives where you're fighting, trying to, you know, originate and generate innovative thinking and a new approach to solve a problem, it does take a completely different skill set to, I think, handle and work with that particular group. Hmm. Let's, did that answer your question? I feel
like, yeah.
Okay.
We're good.
Cool.
Let's say you're in the role of some executive coaching for a friend who's running a business, and you pop in, and your big takeaway is there's just not anybody on this guy or this lady's team that is providing a real creative spark for their area. What's the upsell when you're talking to them? What are some of the key gifts that a creative person can bring to that team?
Perspective, first and foremost. Creatives, we tend to see the world a little differently. It's the blessing and curse of, I think, being an artist, is that your take on everything is completely different. And that, of course, as we're all creative, we all kind of, I think that's why we all kind of drive each other nuts sometimes, is because everyone's seeing the world from a different perspective. But creatives are always trying to figure out a better way to tell the story or to work the problem. And so when you're looking for a new approach and a new perspective, I think creatives are the types of individuals that you can go to immediately to get a different perspective and get a sort of, as I like to say, you know, kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly take on everything, and tell you what's working, what's not working, and then just what's, you know, downright ugly, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's one of the things that creatives can bring, that, you know, just because of the way they're wired and, mm-hmm. you know, the way they see things.
Are there particular things a leader can do to keep creatives excited and motivated about the work, or is there particular types of imagery or terminology that they tend to respond really well to and get enthused about?
Well, I mean, you know, the best idea is the one that's executed, the one that's actually delivered, the mm-hmm. one that, you know, because everybody has a lot of great ideas and creatives especially, but the one you actually finish and deliver and sort of bring home is the one that should be celebrated. So as far as, you know, finding ways to motivate, you know, I think it's just in the same way, speaking back and what I was just saying, as far as a shared perspective of kind of bringing the good, the bad, and the ugly, I think it's extremely important to highlight. And as I said earlier, you know, kind of give a verbal thank you for an idea that is delivered and kind of works for what, you know, what the challenges were and solves those challenges. And then two, you know, it's got to be critiqued in a way that is an honest and fair dialogue. I mean, we're all our own worst critic, you know, especially creatives. We're extremely hard on ourselves, harder than most people are. And so I think you have to know that and be able to, as you're celebrating the success and highlights, also be able to speak about, you know, the things that could have been done differently, you know, or how things could have been maybe handled differently to just even push that idea a little further. So I think if that conversation's handled the right way, with tact and being positive and trying to seek an end result that's going to create a better individual, a better creative, if you're really looking at what's best for not just for them, but for the team and for the company, so that, you know, kind of all cards are on the table, everybody can win, then, you know, I think it will be well received. And that can be a motivation, because then it's like, okay, well, if I was able to achieve this on this idea with this critique, now I can maybe even push it further. And then when you get to the ugly part, that's kind of the fun part, where you just get to kind of laugh at what just didn't work, you know. And I think so the last piece of it is got to be, I think, handled with humor about just what didn't work, you know. And then if it's really bad, and, you know, then humor may not be the right tool to use at that time. But in my world, we joke a lot about, you know, we're very fortunate that it's not like anybody's, you know, we're not in a surgery situation and someone's life depends on us. I mean, we're arguing and debating things like color and where should the artist logo name be placed in this composition? Mm-hmm. You know, how does this edit work to match the temper of the song? I mean, that sort of stuff is not life and death. So in some of those regards, we're able to kind of laugh and, you know, have some humor with it. But it's, I think those are, you know, is looking at those three things to sum up, I might approach it that way as it relates to how to motivate and encourage creatives.
Good. Scott, one of the teaching philosophies we have here, Impact 360, especially as we're working with young adults and we're talking about how they live their faith out, we talk to them about how they're image bearers for Christ. As we talk to them about how they may contribute their creative gifts in their faith life, what are some of the ways that you could see that that could play out? How might a person apply their creativity towards their faith walk?
Well, I think they can first and foremost just be encouraged that, you know, when you look at the story of Christ, he's mentioned in reference as being a carpenter, which, you know, some people actually take the break out of that word and associate it more with the term builder. And we're all builders. We're all creatives. We're all working and molding and shaping things into all sorts of stuff. And I think that the encouragement can be taken in that, in doing the best work with your hands and crafting that and applying yourself in that method is a great, to use your words, like a reflection or an image bearer that, you know, people can, you know, resonate and connect with, because we're all working with our hands, we're all builders, we're all creating. And that's sort of an immediate, you know, baseline to connect with those around you as it relates to the work you do. Because then it gets into things that are how your work is crafted. I've long said that art is, it can't be judged because it's subjective, but it can be judged in how it's crafted and how the art has been shaped and created. I put my own child's artwork up against anything that, you know, Pollock, you know, or Warhol did. Mm-hmm. Of course, the execution of how Pollock did stuff is, he's actually painting to try and, I mean, his whole thing was, how can I paint a painting without my paintbrush touching the canvas? And that's what, you know, birthed the whole ink splat and paint drops and, you know, mm-hmm. kind of his method of expressing himself. And so that's how you can judge that, because he was doing it before anybody else was thinking about it. And the way he was executing it and creating it is what makes it, you know, stand up and stand the test of time. And so I think likewise, as it relates to us and our lives individually, with those that we work and serve with, how we do what we do, how we craft our work, and then how we help those around us do what they do. I think it's a very important thing to be sort of the first one to jump up and say, how can I help or how can I serve? When you think about a job or a gig, like being a carpenter or a builder, I mean, it's a service-oriented thing. I mean, you know, our department is called the Creative Services Department, you know, so it's like our goal is to try and serve all of the different respective departments here in the building for their needs and what they need, whether it's promo, sales, media, marketing, what any and all areas need. Our job is to serve them and to serve them with excellence and to go above and beyond and make sure that what they get is what they need.
Well, Scott, as you were saying there, you have to balance a lot of more formal type of corporate responsibilities, but yet you obviously have your creative side that needs to be fed. How do you do that? How do you find ways, or I guess, what are some of the ways that you keep your creativity fed?
Man, I take every second I can get to be present and intentional in the moment. I have had the opportunity to work with some really strong creative individuals who know exactly who they are, what they're about, the message that they're trying to communicate and evoke, and the art that they're trying to create. And it's amazing to see and watch and learn how much those individuals savor the moment. You know, sometimes I'm able to have an hour of, you know, time to reflect and pause and think and doodle or sketch or even, you know, sometimes play some mean air guitar and drums. But then other times I have 2 minutes, and other times I have the 30-minute commute in the car. And in those moments, when I get them, when I find them, I really try to pause and let everything slow down and just enjoy and savor the moment, because absolutely nothing we can do about yesterday. We have no guarantee that tomorrow is coming. All we have is this moment. And it's so critical to help keep perspective and maintain creative thought. And just remembering that, that you can build on what you've learned before. At the same time, you know, there is that excitement of what's to come. And you're going to miss that excitement if you don't just sort of pause and reflect and think through and look through anything and everything to find that one spark, that one thought that could generate or be an idea that could be, you know, used later.
Well, Scott, how would you, as we think about young professionals entering the marketplace now, millennials, what type of encouragement would you offer them? They're coming into possibly just kind of entry-level jobs, may have some limits on what they want to do. They're looking to get engaged in things that exercise their creativity. But like I said, they're maybe limited a little bit more by some of the entry-level type of job they may have. How would you encourage them in the ways of looking for those opportunities to really show their creative side at work?
Yeah, I would just give them the visual of the empty chair and say that, you know, every position that is out there that you could ever dream or hope or want to have is going to become vacant. The chair I'm sitting in now as the creative director for a record label is going to become empty one day. And the question is not whether or not you'll get those opportunities or whether or not those opportunities will avail themselves to you. The question is, what are you doing to make yourself ready to sit in the empty chair when it comes your way? Because the opportunities will come. And as it related to this opportunity, there was a need for an individual who knew photography, photo shoots, design, film, music video production, direction. All of those things were pieces of my journey and my life up to the point when this opportunity came to serve with this company. So that, you know, when the empty chair was presented, you know, it was much easier to say, yeah, I think I can do that because I've done all these other things before. I've obviously had never done the role and done, you know, had the opportunity to serve in this position for this company. But through a journey and taking steps along the way to be ready for the opportunity, it made all the difference. And it takes, I think, the pressure off too. There's often, you know, I mean, I remember coming right out of college thinking like, I've got to find that one job that's going to be the end all be all and meet all the needs, and I'll be set and I'll kind of stay at it and plug at it and do that for the rest of my working life. And as you know, that's not necessarily reality. So it was more about thinking, okay, well, I don't have to find that one job, but if I just make myself ready for whatever opportunity comes my way and whatever opportunity is presented, then I will be able to, you know, formally take a crack at it and tackle it and see if I can do it. So that would probably be my word of advice or wisdom, that and just go easy on yourself. I just think we all put way too much pressure on ourselves sometimes, myself included. So I'm kind of saying that to myself, but I think, you know, there is this great pressure to try to find the right perfect thing. And, you know, sometimes it's okay to do different things here or there along the way to make yourself ready for the bigger opportunity or the one opportunity that will come down the road a little later. So
that's great advice, Scott, and the imagery of the open chair is a powerful one. I had a similar person early on in my career that offered that same type of example to me, and it's always, or that metaphor to me, it's always stuck with me, and you're right. The opportunities are going to come, and the person that's prepared to do it can step in and grab that opportunity. So yeah. I'm glad those chairs have been presented to you, Scott. Glad that you've had a chance to step in and contribute to the talents that you have. I'm glad those have been there for you. Scott, again, we can't thank you enough for joining us today. I know you're a busy guy. We appreciate you carving the time out to join us in the Impact 360 Institute podcast today. Just, man, thanks so much for teaching us and sharing with us about how to lead creatives.
Well, thank you. It's an honor and privilege to share, and I hope I didn't come across too much as Yoda too many times. you know, because I'm right there with it with everybody. But yeah, it was great, great fun, and I appreciate it.
Well, it was our pleasure, Scott. Thanks again. And to the listeners out there, thanks for sharing in your time with us today. We'll continue to bring you more of these podcasts in the future centered around different leadership topics. So keep coming back to impact360institute.org and check for the latest updates. Thanks again, everybody. Scott, everybody else, have a great day.
For
For more information about our worldview and leadership experiences for students, visit impact360.org. Impact 360 Institute. Know. Be. Live.